welcome to another episode of The Co-op Show. I'm one of your hosts, Brittany.
And I am Jason.
And today we are talking about Toads That Battle.
Battle Toads.
We did not practice that at all.
Only once.
Promise. And then we kind of got stumbled on the ESRB rating. So yes, we are reviewing Battle Toads today. And huge shout out to Xbox and I think I'm going to say this right, DeLala Studios for providing me a review code. This is an E-rated game, and I guess to be specific, this is where we got stumbled on in our first take. It's an E10 rated game.
10 and up.
10 and up, because there is an E, and then there's an E10, and I guess E's for everyone. I mean, duh. But you think I would know this by now, but I guess, you know, you learn something new every day.
Something new.
Yeah, so this is a beat-em-up slash platforming slash maybe sort of kind of vertical scrolling shooter game developed by DeLala Studios, and Rare is assisting with that, published by Xbox Game Studios for Windows, Steam, and Xbox One. It supports local co-op only for up to 3 players. It released August 20th, 2020. It is available on Game Pass, but if you don't have Game Pass, you can buy it for $19.99.
Well worth it.
So the plot overview of this game, the wait is over. I'm going to try to give it my best 90s cheesy narrator voice.
Let's hear it. You are a child of the 90s.
The wait is over. Rash, Zitz, and Pimple are returning at last to smash hit their way through an all-new action-packed adventure of choreographed chaos and couch co-op may never be the same again. 1 to 3 players will take control of the Battletoads and team up to storm through wild and unpredictable stages with only one rule. Expect the unexpected. Teamwork makes the dream work, and drop-in, drop-out gameplay blasts filled with over-the-top gameplay moments that anyone can enjoy, but only a true Toad can master. With a unique hand-animated cartoon style and packed with memorable characters and locations, the Battletoads are back for a larger-than-life brawl across the universe that promises to be fun alone and unforgettable together. Was that pretty good?
That was good. I have one question for you.
Yeah.
Are you a true Toad?
I don't know how to answer that.
Well, it says that only a true Toad can master.
And I wouldn't say, but the thing is, I wouldn't say I totally mastered this. So I think that means I'm not a true Toad.
Well, you did beat. You saved the universe.
I did save the universe. Spoilers.
I think that makes you a true Toad.
Thanks. I think that's a compliment. I don't really know. So the way this game works, it is broken down into 4 acts, and each act has a handful of stages. And we finished this game in 4 hours and 30 minutes. Which I thought it was longer than that, but as credits rolled and it said completion time, I was like, oh, I guess that's that's all it took.
I am a little unclear though on whether that counted all of our like deaths and retries, or if it only counted our successful attempts. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I'd imagine it would count all the deaths and retries, because like I feel like games don't ever just, you know, like not count those.
I mean, yeah. Usually, we did have many deaths and
we
many
did
retries.
Have many deaths. And so speaking of that, I never played Battletoads in the day. I think this game has the reputation. I know this game has a reputation for being very, very difficult. So this was actually like my first experience with the Toads That Battle. But you played this as a wee lad back in the day.
Yeah, I had it on NES. So it came out in 1991 on NES and I played the shit out of it. And I remember really enjoying it as a kid. And I thought it was really hard. But before the show today, we watched like a 7-minute YouTube video. Just, you know, I typed in Battletoads OG and I was looking at it and I was like, that does not look hard at all. So I am honestly wondering, was it hard because I was a kid? Because I was 6 years old when this game came out. Oh, I've aged myself. Or dated? Yeah. What's the word?
I think both.
I'm not trying to date myself. That's kind of weird. Don't you blink at me.
I'm just staring across the table blinking at him like, I mean, it is what it is. Self-love is important, friends. You know, it's interesting you say that because I feel like back in the day, I think I was just a better video game player.
Whoa.
Well, no, listen.
Oh, them fighting words.
No, sorry, not compared to you. Not compared to you.
Okay, I thought I was just better than you back in the day.
I mean, I probably was, let's be real. No, but what I mean is I think I had so much more patience and I had the patience to get good. And looking at, you know, this game in particular, it looks easy. I mean, I think the person playing it was a walkthrough guide. So I think they knew what they were doing. But everyone thinks of Battletoads and think about how difficult this game is. So
yeah, I remember it being really hard. Yeah. I don't know that I ever even beat it as a kid, but then again, I was only 6.
Yeah, that's a hell of a game to play when you're 6. When I was playing 6, I was playing Super Mario World. But on that note, speaking of difficulty, I think that's something that I appreciate about this game is that it does have 3 different difficulty options. It has Tadpole, Toad, and Battletoad. So Tadpole is like your baby-ass baby mode, the mode where enemy health, strength, and respawn time is severely reduced, and then Toad is more of your normal mode. And Battletoad is when you're like, I'm a badass, and I'm going to freaking just punch my way through this and survive until the very end. I don't need no invincibility, which is something that you can access on Tadpole and Toad mode.
Wait, so it's not accessible on Battletoad
mode? It's not on Battletoad mode, no. Oh. So the way invincibility works in this game, like let's say you're playing Tadpole or Toad and you're just getting your ass handed to you. And for the record, we played on Toad mode. I don't know if I mentioned that earlier.
Toad mode.
Toad mode. It rhymes. That's cool. the way invincibility works is if you die enough times at a certain checkpoint, you first of all, you have the option to even enable this or disable it depending in the options. So if you have it enabled, if you get your ass kicked too much, it will give you a little prompt above the Toad icon on the top of the screen. It's like a little flashy D-pad symbol. You push up on the D-pad and then it will activate during that checkpoint only. And so it's like, okay, the game's telling you you're clearly on the struggle bus here. Let's give you a hand until the very next checkpoint, and then it turns off.
Yeah, it's a little embarrassing when the game decides that you suck too much and need to be invincible, but it's also it's also kind of a relief when it gives you that option.
It's a relief.
So it's bittersweet.
Yeah, and so it's a little confusing because in the options, it just says invincibility mode, enable or disable, turn it on or off. And we had turned it on, and we were wondering, like, after two rounds of dying, we're like, well, why? We're struggling during the checkpoint. Let's turn this on. Let's just blast through it. But it does take a set amount of times before it will activate.
Yeah.
I think one stage took us 4 to 5 times, and then another one I think was like 8 or 9 times.
Yeah, it seemed to vary, but I'm not sure on that. But in any case, before it became too frustrating, it did give us the option. So, if you're feeling frustrated, you probably don't have far to go before you're going to get that
exactly.
option.
Yeah, exactly. And we will talk about these specific levels in a bit, but there are different kinds of levels throughout Battletoads, which is kind of interesting. There's like a racing, there's racing levels, there's platforming levels, there are vertical side-scrolling shooter levels like Raiden. Back in, you remember Raiden.
Oh, yeah, I love that game. And there was even like platforming puzzle levels too.
Yeah,
where
there were
no enemies, but.
Correct. So if you do die enough during those, you will get the ability to enable invincibility, which is really a godsend. So if you're like me and you're a little worried about the difficulty option, or if you're trying to play with someone who maybe isn't well-versed in the act of these brawlers, I would say, don't worry, you can turn down a Tadpole mode and invincibility will carry you there eventually. And I thought it did click in enough. Well, I think it clicked in at a rate that was like, okay, we were ready for it. And then it clicked in right around that time.
Yeah, so it was a good.
Minus the final boss fight.
Oh, man.
It didn't activate at all during the final boss
fight. No, never.
Which I guess is like, okay, fine, it's a final fight. I get it.
Yeah.
Like at that point, if you're not good, then, well, whatever.
Yeah.
Not saying we were good because it took a lot of times.
We weren't.
A lot of tries.
Definitely not Battletoads good.
No.
Only Toad.
Only Toad good.
Plain old Toad.
We're only Toad good. But the good thing, too, about the boss fights is that they do checkpoint you. And I'm not totally clear if that's just a Tadpole Toad thing. But so if you get half health down through the boss, if you die and you come back, that boss still is half health, which is really nice.
Yeah, it's like the health head checkpoint. So it's not exactly where you left off, but probably maybe like one-fifth, every like fifth of its health that was gone, it seemed like it checkpointed right around there, something like that. So it wasn't too bad.
Thank you for that. We appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you.
So speaking of difficulty and checkpoints and getting our asses kicked, so the combat in this game, what did you think about it?
I thought it was fun. I thought it lacked depth, though. Okay, well, let me elaborate. You can button mash in this game and do fairly well. And there is some nuance to it. For instance, we learned probably halfway through the game that you need to be bubblegum spitting on people. It really, really helps because it slows them down.
I'm going to stop you there. I don't think we learned that halfway through the game.
Okay.
If you remember, little story time. The first time we dived into this game, you and I were both very tipsy. And that is where we learned about the bubblegum mechanic.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
So you're going to blame it on the whiskey.
Absolutely. I mean, I'm blaming it on myself because I'm the one who consumed the whiskey and thought it would be a fantastic idea to hop into a brawler with lots of combos and whatnot. But yeah, so
okay.
Just to stop you there, like, continue.
I got it. So the reason why I say it lacks depth is because I was expecting and sort of hoping for maybe level ups where if you get enough XP or enough levels, you can add new skills or enhance certain skills. But in reality, what you get is what you start the game with is what you have really throughout the rest of the game. You start off with all the movesets already, and you just kind of have to learn the combos. That's okay, but I did feel like, I think part of the reason why it was shallow is that button mashing seemed to suffice, and throughout the entire 4.5 hours of gameplay, I still couldn't tell you any, like, legit combos. And it's because the game never really tells you what those combos are. You just kind of have to figure it out. But when you're not really forced to figure it out, you just end up button mashing, and you're like, oh, if I press X a couple of times and then hold down B, then this cool thing happens. Okay, I'll just do that a lot because that works really well. Mm-hmm. And it was kind of like, I wish the game would have told me, hey, here are the combos you can do, and maybe I'll try them out then. But it never did that. What do you think?
I can't say definitively whether or not it never told us that, because again...
Oh, no.
Like, we played the tutorial at the beginning of this game after a few whiskeys, and I know I for sure didn't remember everything when we started to back up sober again. Thankfully, we picked up where we left off. So, a few things. I think it's interesting that you kind of... And you mentioned this while we were playing. You thought it would be cool if there were, you know, like a progression system, like a tree system and whatnot.
Yeah, like unlocking new skills or attacks or...
Yeah, I mean, and I'll be the first to admit, I'm not super well-versed in the brawler genre, but I feel like in a game like this, it's pretty common to not have that upgrade skill tree because it is all about the fighting and just getting good with what you have. I mean, you think of a game like Smash Brothers, for example, right? Obviously, like, they're very different, but in Smash, which I know you're very well-versed in, it's like you don't really level up or anything.
Yeah, that's true, and it is you know, at its core.
In the story mode, obviously, like, you're not going to be able to level up in versus mode.
Right.
So anyway, and also, to piggyback off that, this game only was 4.5 hours for us to beat.
Yeah.
And I feel like to build and incorporate a tree in a game that only takes that long, it would feel probably kind of pointless. Not only
too much depth for a game
too
that
much
short.
Depth for a game that doesn't have a lot of depth.
Yeah.
Not to mention, I feel like almost half the levels aren't even brawler levels.
Well, you're right. Yeah, I mean, probably only half of the game was brawler, and the rest was like these other types of stages that we'll get more into.
Yeah. So to touch a bit on those controls, you do have, like Jason said, strike attack, morph attack, launcher attack. I can't also tell you which buttons those were, but it was a combination of Y, B, and A. Those were our main attack buttons. And then he mentioned the bubblegum spit. It's LT and A, and that's the combination that you want to use if you want to spit out bubblegum. And then, like, RT is dodge. You can jump, obviously. I feel like there's other things you can do with your tongue.
Oh, yeah, you can...
Like, LTX, I think, actually pulls enemies towards you.
It's kind of like a hook shot, like, or get over here.
Yeah,
it's one of those. LT plus Y will... your tongue will come out and stick to a fly if there's any on the screen, and then you eat the fly, and that gives you some health back. Mm-hmm. Or you can use LT plus, like, B or something, and that is, like, an actual hook shot that ropes you to another location on the map.
Yeah, so this is probably, if you see a tongue ring,
if you see a tongue ring, yeah.
I admittedly did not understand that reference until I saw it on paper today.
Now I get it.
I was like, I get it. Yeah, I mean, I'm with you. I think, I mean, I've talked about this many times. I am the queen of button mashing. I just like to button mash, which is why I typically play games that have combinations or any fighting games like this on easy, because if I can get away with button mashing, like, I'm good. But yeah, I mean, for us being kind of noobs, especially me, on Toad mode, which is the normal mode, I really didn't find it too difficult. I feel like it was very rare that you and I actually died during the brawler sequences, and it was more toward, like, during the boss fights where we would get our asses handed to us.
Yeah, and there's some interesting mechanics, and just to back up a little bit, I don't want to just leave it on the note that I thought that the combat system lacked depth. I actually had a lot of fun with the combat. I just want to make that clear. I did enjoy the combat. I think what I meant to say earlier was that I wish there was just a little more to give me even more depth, because I felt like I was doing sort of the same combos or the same button combinations over and over again. And they were fun and they felt good, but I just wanted a little more. That's all.
That's
so
fair.
It was good. I just felt like it could have been even better with some more depth. That's what I really meant to say.
Are you thinking about your Smash Brothers experience?
Smash Bros. Let's not go into Smash Bros.
Team Ness. Yeah, and we also found out, and I think this was when you and I kind of hit that turning point, is bubblegum and dodge was our mantra.
Oh, yeah.
And we kept saying that out loud during these fighting sequences.
Oh, yeah,
sequences.
We were trying to remind each other, like, remember to bubblegum,
remember
to dodge.
Bubblegum and dodge. And what makes that... What makes that so efficient is when you have, you know, 6 or 7 enemies around you, what happens is you push LT plus A to spit out your bubblegum, and then above that character's icon on the top screen, you can see their bubble gums refreshing. So it's kind of a timed thing, but you have two at a time, and I feel like they refresh pretty quickly, like 5 to 10 seconds.
Yeah.
And it temporarily slows down your enemies. Well, so you can spit all over bitches, and then you can just dodge around, and the dodging's really helpful too. I think like once you and I kind of mastered that technique, we were sitting pretty at that point.
It really, really helped. Yeah. That was a big deal.
And so something else that's kind of fun too, and I didn't realize this, but you can, when you tag in, and maybe you did, when you tag in your other teammate, so because Jason and I were the only ones playing, that meant we always had a toad that was like in the reserves, right? And so if you tag in an enemy, or if you tag in another toad, they have a specific skill they have when they first pop in. Did you notice that?
No, I didn't notice
that. Yeah, so apparently Zitz does an uppercut and Rash kicks enemies.
I'd never even noticed it, honestly. Usually, if you're tagging in a toad, it means that you have just died.
Yep.
And so you're kind of scrambling to stay alive, and it's kind of hectic because if you've just died, there's usually a lot of enemies around your corpse. But I did notice how when you tag someone in, it does seem to kind of clear out the area. I just never put two and two together that was because
what was going on.
Pimple was coming in and doing some roundhouse kick to the face or something.
Yeah, and I think that's just a testament to how much you and I really weren't paying too much attention. So what was going on?
Yeah.
I mean, we were, but at the same time, it was like, hey, we're being successful. Ooh, let's go.
We were having fun the whole time.
Oh, we had a lot of fun. Yeah. So talking about the respawning. So yeah, because it was just Jason and I, you always have like a toad in reserve, right? Because
there's three toads.
Because there's three toads.
Yep.
And so let's say we are punching enemies. Woo, everything's going great. I get sucker punched, I die. And going back to the difficulty a little bit, I feel like the toads receive a lot of damage.
Oh, they do,
and I think that's where like the majority of the difficulty comes in. It's not so much the enemy health on toad difficulty, it's more of the damage that you take. You're just toads. You have no armor. You just have your reptilian skin. Are toads reptiles? They're not. They're amphibians.
Amphibians.
Amphibian skin. And doesn't have a lot of armor. So let's say I'm playing as Rash and you're Pimple and we have Zitz in reserve. I get knocked out. So as soon as I get knocked out, I have a little bar that says revive me. And it's slowly draining. Either Jason can come and revive me by pressing RB, or I can tap in whatever toad I didn't mention just now. He'll come in. I can revive the toad I was playing as.
Essentially, you can revive yourself.
You can revive yourself, and then the toad that you revive goes to your reserve, and now you're playing as the new toad.
Yep.
If you don't revive them in time, they're knocked out. And then they have like a 20 to 30 second countdown.
Cooldown until they're available again. Yeah.
So it's pretty forgiving in that sense. And that's something I really do appreciate that they incorporated is, you know, you're going to die a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's rare in the typical spat that you actually like totally get a game over.
Yeah, it's just not that punishing when you die. So it's not super frustrating.
If you're playing on toad mode like we were.
On toad mode with invincibility anyway.
Yeah. I got to say, like real quick, I'm proud of us doing toad mode.
Yeah, we could have done baby ass baby mode. That would have been tadpole mode. But we rolled with toad mode. But honestly, the reason why is because we thought we could be invincible whenever we wanted. That's really the only reason why.
Whoops, that is a very, very good point. So this is your typical side-scrolling brawler in the sense that, you know, you go into a new area, a whole bunch of new enemies spawn, you kick their asses, you move on. But there are some interesting little mini games that are scattered throughout the levels. Not a heck of a lot of them, but I would say like, you know, half a dozen at least or so.
Yeah.
So they're hacking mini games. So you have one of them, which I have described in our show notes as Kalimba style. So essentially how this works is, Ken, just the two of us, Jason's icon's on the top, mine's on the bottom, and you have to solve a series of, how would you describe it?
It's hard to describe. You kind of have to...
You have to move from left to right, and it's just your icon, like the toad's face.
You have to open the door, essentially, for your partner so they can move through, but it's timing-based.
It's timing-based and all takes place on a computer screen.
Yeah.
It's really hard to explain, but it is a puzzle that's there.
It's a fun little puzzle, and it's not too hard. I mean, if you're good at it, it takes 10 to 15 seconds to do, but you'll probably die a few times, and overall, maybe it takes a minute or two to get it down.
Yeah.
But it's cute.
And there's also what I have in here is a goddamn electricity puzzle, where essentially you get this little surge of electricity, and you have to flip some switches, because there's little up. It's like in Pokemon. The Pokemon games in that. Yeah. What's that tower called where you get is it Rocket? No, it's some tower. Fuck, what is it? You know what I'm talking? Do you even know what I'm talking about?
No, I'm not there.
You're just smiling, naughty. No, okay, listen, I'm going to get this right. It's the tower where you have all the little tiles with the arrows pointing in the one different directions.
Are you talking about like Pokemon OG, like blue and red?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's Silphco.
Silphco.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
This is nothing like Silphco, is it?
This is nothing like that. But
you know what made me think about that are the little arrows. Anyway, think Silphco, but
that's
guiding.
Okay. That's okay. So, yeah, it's basically just like connect the pipes so that the electrical current
much better
flows from one end to the other successfully, and it's just a puzzle. What I like about these puzzles, well, A, some of them are fun and easy, but I think there were a few where we were like, all right, fuck this. You know, and
I'm still thinking about my Silphco example. I think it has some validity to it.
We'll figure it out. We'll figure out the Silphco validity. So anyway, what I like about these puzzles, or one thing I like, I should say, is that if you're not a puzzle person and you're more of just like a platformer or a beat 'em up kind of person, there is a fuck this switch to the right of each puzzle.
Yes.
And you can literally just say, fuck this. Pull the lever or push the switch or whatever, and the door opens, so you don't have to complete the puzzle.
Yeah.
So the puzzles are all optional, and they don't give you anything to actually complete them other than just the satisfaction of, like, I did it. I did the puzzle.
Yeah.
What do you think about that?
Oh, I think that's great, yeah. Because this game at its core isn't a puzzle game.
Right.
This game at its core is a brawler, but they did a lot of really interesting things, different things that made, I mean, I thought it was fun, but I know the industry has kind of had some mixed reactions too, but we'll talk about that in a sec.
Yep.
And there are also some other fun puzzles that would get you a collectible, because there are 6 collectibles per level, and you can usually find them sometimes hidden, sometimes you have to complete a special objective to get them, and you'll find out that objective is by pressing start when you first start the level. But there was some, for example, it was some match the symbol puzzle, and we maybe tried it for like 3 minutes, and we both were like, you know what, we're not even collecting anything in this game, and let's just move on.
Yeah.
So there are those also scattered throughout, so if that's something you're into, cool, and they're totally optional.
Yeah, I think there are 78 collectibles, and we got like 20 of them by the end of the game.
Oh, yeah, we didn't get a lot. We just got them if they were convenient, but that was pretty much it. And the last thing I just want to give a huge nod to are the cutscenes in this game. I think they're super funny. They're super well acted. And I was never a Battletoads fan before this. I knew nothing about these characters or even like their silly ass names. But after watching these scenes, which looked like a Saturday morning cartoon, I think.
It really did.
Yeah.
It totally, it reminded me exactly of that, like a 90s cartoon.
Yeah.
It was great. It was like we were being transported back to 1991 or the 90s, mm-hmm. whenever Battletoads were a thing. And it really did feel almost like a little time machine in that sense.
It was just really well done. It was super funny. We were laughing out loud several times.
We were. Voice acting was phenomenal.
Mm-hmm. And the color palette is super vibrant as well. And so, yeah, I mean, for that reason alone, it was kind of like playing through a little fun cartoon series with you in a sense.
Yeah, it really was.
Yeah.
I liked it.
It was really funny, and I really like these characters. And now I want a new Battletoads game, another one.
So
I just like these three. They're really silly.
It's just a fun story, fun characters. I liked it a lot.
Yeah, I like that you have Zitz, who is like the leader or like wannabe leader, but he's kind of dumb.
Yeah.
He tries real hard. You got Pimple, the big gentle giant Hulk toad, who clearly is like very strong, but he tries to be diplomatic and the peacemaker. And then you have Rash, who's just like the super like fuck boy.
Yeah.
He's like, yo, let's just go do all the cool things. And
he just wants to be famous. That's all he cares about.
He just wants to be famous.
He's very vain. He wears like these rocker sunglasses.
He has like these random bandanas like around his arm, which I don't quite understand what the whole point of that is, unless he's trying to be a Ninja Turtle.
I was wondering what the ties are between Ninja Turtles and Battletoads, because clearly in the early 90s, the Ninja Turtles were like a huge deal.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And so were Battletoads the attempted spinoff? Like, that is an honest question. I don't know.
I don't really know either. I couldn't even begin to tell. I'm Googling the Ninja Turtles because I was looking at Raphael and he has like those little red bandanas around like his arm. Well, they're on his elbow because I don't know. I mean,
there's definitely resemblance between these characters. And another thing that they allude to a lot in the game is that they'll say like, we're brothers, right? Actually, we never talk about it. And I think 3 times throughout the game, they'll be like, what are you guys, brothers or what? And they'll be like, we don't talk about that.
Yeah, there's just a whole bunch of funny jokes. Yeah. And I, you know, like I said at the beginning, I was a little worried because I had never played any of these games before. And usually brawlers aren't my jam, but I love this and I connected with all of them. I mean, as much as you can connect with, you know, this isn't like The Last of Us Part 2 or anything, but I think they're really silly and it was just kind of a feel-good story.
Yeah.
Lots of humor. Now let's get to Act 3. So this was a really weird act in the sense that I don't remember actually if there are any typical brawling levels. I don't think there were. So you have this Raiden style series of levels. I think there's like three or four throughout the entire, I think the whole act was eight stages.
Isn't it called like a vertical shooting?
Vertical shooter.
Sure, is that what it's called?
Yeah, like Raiden Fighters.
Raiden, yeah, exactly.
I thought this was kind of fun. So how it worked with co-op is I flew the ship and you did all the shooting.
Yeah, so one person flies, the other shoots.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's obviously, you wouldn't think of this when you think of Battletoads, but I thought it was kind of fun. There was a point where it did seem a little overwhelming and a little difficult and challenging, and the invincibility did take a while to kick in on this one. I think we only really needed it for one or two of the checkpoints.
As a matter of fact, I think we actually made it through without invincibility eventually. I could be wrong, but
we used it for one.
Okay.
I remember one. Well, I believe it. It took like 20 minutes to finish just that one checkpoint.
I believe it. You know what though? I thought it was really fun actually.
Yeah.
I've never played a game like that where one person does the driving and the other does the shooting in a vertical Raiden style shooter like that.
Yeah.
So I thought it worked really well actually. I had fun.
Yeah, it was a good time. It reminded me of when we used to go to GameWorks.
Yeah.
And play Raiden Fighters on the old cabinets.
Oh yeah, and I mean the teamwork element that it brings into it is really I thought it was just fun. If you've got a co-op partner, Yeah. It's a good time.
It'd be a good time. One of these days, we'll have to tell the story about how you and I played Skyward Sword.
Oh, my goodness.
How I think I controlled Link and you did the movements. I can't remember exactly how we did that.
One of us had to waggle and the other had to run
around.
That
was the whole thing. The other thing that Act 3 does are it's this platform. It's just like a platformer. I would describe it as like a little indie platformer. And we won't go into story spoilers, but you are playing as one of the Toads and there is no fighting. In this series of levels, it's essentially you just running from left to right, maneuvering these levers that you have to make go up or down, pushing these blocks so you can achieve a higher verticality so you can continue on. What did you think of those?
It was okay. That was probably my least favorite part of the game, but it wasn't unfun. Mm. It was still interesting and entertaining, just not as much as the other parts of the game.
Yeah, it was a weird choice, and narratively, again, without going into story spoilers, I think I understand what they were going for, but it kind of felt like that could all have just been cut and told with like a 5-minute cutscene or something.
Yeah.
We also did run into a bug here where one of the blocks wouldn't move, and we probably spent like 5 to 10 minutes on it trying to figure out what was going on with it, and then we died, and then we
loaded
restarted
our
the
save
level
or whatever.
Yeah, loaded the save, and then we were able to work. It was able to work as intended, and we had no problem finishing the level. Yeah, so Act 3 was just kind of strange in itself. I can't remember if there are any other weird things. I feel like it was mostly that platforming level and then the shooting levels. Oh, and then there was a level where you're playing as another kind of character, and you have to evade this continually chasing you liquid. It's like, do you remember what I'm talking about?
Where you're going from
top to bottom.
Yeah. Okay, yeah.
Yeah. And
that's where you're kind of, think of it as like escape the lava, except reversed. It's like
I'm so
the lava.
Happy you're here to describe things.
It's like the lava's coming from the top, not the bottom. And
so it's all platforming.
Yeah, so it's platform. You got to get down as fast as you can before it, you know, before you get slimed.
Yeah. So. And so I would say, I think Act 3 was very unique. Mm-hmm. And I appreciated that they kind of changed it up a little bit, but I definitely never thought I would say this. I was missing the brawling aspect by the end of it.
Yeah, I would say I agree. The reason why I'm hesitating is because I thought it was a good, nice, long break from the brawling, which can become a little
repetitive.
I don't want to say stale, but repetitive.
Sure.
That's a good word. But I agree with you that I also missed the brawling by the end. But I don't think it was bad what they did in Act 3. It was different, but it was still enjoyable. I still had fun, and I think that's what matters for me.
Aw, that's so cute. That's so cute, Damaris. That's so adorable. No, I'm with you. I didn't hate it. I mean, I enjoyed my time with it. It was fun, you know, maneuvering some of those things with you, but it definitely kind of was I just wasn't expecting it, I guess.
I felt like we played like 4 or 5 different games rather than one when we played Battletoads. It gives you a little taste of multiple different genres of games. I almost felt like it was like the Mario Party and Battletoads had like a baby or something.
Mario Party.
Well, the reason why I say Mario Party is because you know how you're always, it's like you go from one mini game to another mini game to another and you never really know what you're going to do.
Oh yeah. There were many times when you and I were looking at each other like, what are we doing and why are we doing it? Not in a bad way, but more of like this game is ridiculous, but it's supposed to be, right? Obviously.
Yeah.
So there were these also like these random ass side games that, I mean, I say side games, but they were part of the game, so you can't skip them or anything. There was a time when you're in like in a sports arena and you have to pose and match the shadows. There's Toad Shambeau, which is like rock, paper, scissors. And there's like that ridiculous one time where you were playing as Pimple and you were punching all these dudes and I was taking photos and somehow killing people with my photos. Like, it's just insane.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, overall, like if I had to pick to like omit these things or keep them in, I would say keep them in because I think it added some spice and flair to it. I think it was probably a little overdone. I think maybe some of the levels went on a little too long.
Yeah, if nothing else, you and I were laughing because it was hilarious. Because we were what the fucking and looking at each other and being like, what the hell is going on? Like, because I think it was meant to just be ridiculous. And that,
it was, yeah.
And that made it funny. And us laughing, like, to me, made it feel like this is all worth it, even though it's weird and ridiculous, because we're laughing, we're having a good time.
Yeah, so...
yeah.
Do you have any other thoughts about Battletoads? Any other stories you want to share? Gather around, because I got to burp off the mic.
You know, I don't really have any stories that specifically stand out to me. I mean, I feel like the experience as a whole was a good one, and I really enjoyed our time with it, frankly. But there's nothing, no standout like stories or events or incidents really that, you know, created a good story. Yeah. To share.
No,
what about you?
I get. No, I feel the same way. I was thinking about, like, if I could critique this game, what would it be? And I think I just went into Battletoads with such accurate expectations of what this game would be. Something kind of silly, ridiculous, a fun co-op game, lots of humor, lots of cartoonish antics. That, and again, like I've said, I don't know these brawler genres like the back of my head. So I don't know what the industry quote standard is. I don't know what people mostly look for when they're playing a game like this. But like what I can say is I don't really have any major critiques with it. I think it did everything mostly we wanted to. I don't think it overstayed its welcome. I think maybe Act 3 drug on just a little too long in some respects. By the end, I was getting a little frustrated with it. I think you probably remember that.
Yeah.
But overall, like, yeah, it was just a really fun co-op game. I think it's a great game to play with your family. I've seen some photos of families playing it and passing the control around because it does support three-player co-op, which I feel like local co-op, and I feel like that's such a rare feature that games have anymore. So it's been fun to see folks playing with like their kids and their spouses, and I would say their dogs, but I don't think the dogs are probably playing the game.
Well, you could try. I don't know how that would work out though.
They would just lick your controller and then you get all sticky and slimy.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I would definitely recommend playing it. Here's my question to you, though. Do you think it warrants, Game Pass aside, which I think is the best deal in gaming, Do you think it warrants a $20 price tag?
That's a good question. All right, so we got 4.5 hours out of it.
And you're right. Like, I just want to stop. The more I think about it, yeah, I wonder, does that include all of our debts? Or does that just include...
Right.
Because after you finish a level, it gives you the time that you spent on that level.
Yeah. So I see it as it's kind of a package deal. I feel like we got, like I said, maybe 4 or 5 games in one, you know, granted mini games, but I had fun with all of them. And I feel like we got some sort of like 90s cartoon that was probably, you know, if you add up all of the cutscenes, maybe like a half hour to 45 minutes or so of cutscene length, maybe less. I don't know.
Go through YouTube videos and watch.
But, and then I have to compare that to like, was that, well, one more thing. It's local co-op, which means that it was $20, but we both got to enjoy that together.
That's a good point.
And so I think when you add all those things up, I do think, yeah, I think it's worth $20. I mean, if you try and say times three, would this be some $60 AAA value? Well, no, I don't think so. But if you just look at it as an absolute, was this experience, would I pay $20 for that experience? Yeah, I absolutely would.
Yeah, no, I'm 100% with you. I would definitely say it's worth the $20 price tag. I think it's great to see Battletoads come back.
Yeah.
And I think they did a really good job with reviving it and making it accessible in the sense that as someone who's never played those games, I was like, well, I don't know who these freaking amphibians are, but I was able to hop into it. And then I really, really enjoyed the antics. And I think the cutscenes, you know, those animated Saturday morning cartoon style with the voice acting and the production, I think it's all really well done. And I think it's incredibly entertaining. And I'm someone who pays $60 for Call of Duty games for the 4.5 hour campaign alone. Because to me, it's like, if I walk away from that experience with a time that I think was fun and I made good memories from, to be like, to sound cliche and cheesy like you were, probably going to one-up you can't put a price tag on that. You know, and I think that, you know, what this game has done is it's introduced me to a franchise that I think so many people love. And I'm not going to pretend like I know everything about Battletoads now, because I don't know how, I don't want to call it canon this is compared to like the older games. But I feel like I can talk some shop with the Battletoads people now, you know?
Yeah, and I'd say that look at who those Battletoads people are, because they're probably a lot of them are people like me who were playing it when they were six. So, you know, my six-year-old opinion of a game is probably due for an update.
It was fun.
Exactly.
Maybe that's what you sounded like.
But, you know, maybe not exactly.
It was fun. It was fun. Yeah. Oh, okay, cool. Well, yeah, I think you and I are in the same boat then, that I think this is a great game for families to play, and that was a good point you brought up about the $20 price tag, and it is local co-op. So if you were to split that, it's kind of like $9.99 per person. If you want to split that by three, oh, God, what's 20 divided by three? Demers, you're better at math. That's like $6.30.
Yeah, about that, yeah.
I don't think that's right.
I don't know.
We're not the math
It's around $7-ish.
No, that's $21, though. That's over MSRP. It's not 21, maybe if you include tax.
You know, if you include tax.
Oh,
that's
God, I knew it. Okay. I knew you were going to go there.
Hey, taxes. We talked about this in the last
episode.
Like
I said, we're not the math podcast. We're the co-op show. Anyway, so friends, a few little updates on our end. This is our second episode, and we have an actual email address now. It is contact@coopshow.com. I say coop, you're supposed to pronounce it co-op in your head, but when you spell it out, it looks like coop.
Yeah, not like poop, though.
No.
I mean, it's coop like poop, but...
Poop with a C. contact@coopshow.com.
Please don't visit poopshow.com. I don't know what that is. Don't.
Don't do that. It won't be great. We also have a website.
That would be coopshow.com.
Okay, see, I hesitated. I hesitated because here's why, friends. We didn't get the coopshow.com. If you go there, it's definitely not our website, but if you go to coopshow.com, you will get to our website. There's nothing super fancy there. We're just mostly going to use it for a hub to have all of our episodes, and we have a picture of Reb on the website, which is kind of the best part.
It's definitely worth looking at the picture.
It's the best part, to be
honest.
There's
also a picture of us in case you don't know what we look like and you want to find out.
Yeah, but we're not the best part. Our dog's the best part of the website.
Reb is definitely the best part.
Absolutely. So if you have any feedback or questions for us, like I mentioned on the last episode, we're excited to start including some sort of Q&A in the show. But like I said, we're still working the kinks out. But if you have any questions or comments or feedback, email us at contact@thecoopshow.com or you can find me on Twitter @blondenerd. And I think that's all I got.
Yeah, and if you like,
anything?
Well, leaving a review would be
yes,
freaking
thank
amazing.
You.
Do you want to ask the people?
You can ask the people.
Well, hey, we would really appreciate a review on whatever podcast platform you listen to. We're a new show, and that helps us get found by other folks like you, and that way we can help people, and you can help us, and it's kind of like this mutual helping, and that's awesome, right?
That's completely and totally awesome. Thank you so much for listening, everyone, and we will see you next week. We'll be right back.